Thanks for downloading this podcast from Absolute Radio. You can win £20,000. Play rock and roll fantasy football for free now at absoluteradio.co.uk/fantasyfootball.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
This is the Frank Skinner Absolute Radio podcast. I've never worked out the name of this yet, but I'm here with Emily and Gareth. And this week's show, we nearly didn't have Emily because she had the swines.
I did.
She had the swines last week.
I know.
So now.
I'm yeah. So
does that
fashion.
Mean you can't get it again?
Yeah, that means that's me done now. Yes. So I'm never going to get the really horrible one, but you two still could.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Obviously, I'll see your strain of swine's flu and I'll raise you to what do I want? Some sort of swelling.
Yeah.
And then, Gareth, you'll have to top mine.
Yeah. I've had the flu jab.
Perhaps next count? Week's phone-in should be who gets it first, me or you. Mm. I think it's leaving the old people alone.
Yeah, I was worried about coming in, though, because it said you should avoid people with children and the elderly.
I think that's a general rule. I try to. Oh, here's the podcast.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
So, this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily and Gareth. Was almost just me and Gareth this week.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You've had the swines.
I've had a bit of the swines. I've only had a bit of the swines. It was a mild strain, my doctor said. But I know this is terrible. I was quite excited that I had it.
Well, it's yeah. very topical.
I know. There was a point when it is horrible, by the way. I don't recommend you have it.
I don't think we should worry that people are going to go and deliberately get it just because you've had it. Don't kid yourself, madam. Well, if Emily's had the swines, I want the swines. I wonder if we can get the specific strain that she had.
It's like a VIP strain.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it is, yeah.
But Emily definitely wanted to get it before it was too big.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? When it was on the up.
Well, she doesn't want it when the masses have got it, no.
I got an eye infection. Which is very sort of Mexico Spring 09, I think. It was quite.
No, I think death was the big thing then, if
yeah,
I remember right.
You could be right.
You get an eye infection with well, in a pig's eye, you do.
I wanted to get an eye patch like the Psychoville twins. I thought that would be quite good.
That would be great.
But no, I'm very much on the mend now, so I'm not going to infect anyone, any men out there.
You say that, but we are in a sealed studio, Gareth. Yeah. How are you feeling about this?
We keep her behind the glasses. It's a bit like 28 Days Later. Every now and then she makes a lurch for us to try and infect
For
us.
Those of you who haven't seen 28 Days Later, you can just text Gareth for the plot. I met the...
That's quite a big film.
I met the woman, I think, who was in 28 Days Later. The young girl. Is there a young girl in it?
Very possibly.
Well, you're talking about it. Have you not seen it?
I have seen it, yeah. But I can't...
I don't remember if it's a young girl.
Committed it to memory.
Are you one of those people who pretends you've seen a film that you haven't seen?
I do that sometimes.
Yes, why do we do that?
It's really...
Why? It's like if someone asks me directions, I never know the place and I always give them some directions.
I'll tell you what I genuinely have been watching this week, though, because you know when you're ill and you're just in bed and you're really miserable, I've been watching a lot of The Diving. I love The Diving.
Mm.
Oh, I love it. You know how you like fashion TV, Frank? That's how I like The Diving.
No, you don't like it like I like fashion TV. If you've never seen fashion TV, it's very beautiful women just walking up and down a catwalk, as you might imagine, but it becomes quite mesmerising. But I started watching it because it was beautiful young women, and now I've got to know all the designers, and I'm saying things like, well, I mean, they need a higher collar on that. I mean, it's a bit Galliano, isn't it? it started with a sort of Lost, and then it's developed into something quite intellectual now. I've become a sort of a... What's his name? That used to the Cloud Show with it's Jeff Banks.
Oh, Jeff Banks.
Yeah, I've become a Jeff Banks figure. That's terrible when you lose a name like that. Oh, God. Where's my comedy career going if I can't remember Jeff Banks? He's a name you often need to go to, isn't he, in an emergency for a punchline.
Absolute Radio.
What was we talking about now? Was it Arlene Phillips?
Yes.
We were just talking. I think I've surprised my colleagues this morning by being so angry about the fact that Arlene Phillips has been sacked from Strictly Come Dancing to the point where I'm thinking I'll never watch it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you really angry about it?
Well, because it's not for the reason. Obviously, there's a lot of sort of women of a certain age come out of the woodwork and said,
How dare you?
I think that's where they live, isn't it, in the woodwork? it's the sap they're after because they're very dry. So they're all been saying, you know, they shouldn't have sacked her and got. They've replaced her with Alicia Dixon.
Yes, that's right. Who won it the year before?
Yes. Who, of course, is the electricity store heiress.
No, she's not.
But no, she isn't. But Arlene, I think she's a big import. I quite like her normalness on the show because everyone else is, you know, a bit odd on the show.
She's not normal. She's very theatrical. She's normal if you come from my family.
Yeah, yeah. She could easily be one of your relatives, Arlene. Yeah, maybe that's why I like her. Yeah. But I mean, they're saying it's because she's, what, is she 60 or something? I mean, Bruce is nearly 1,000. And no one's talked about replacing him. Though I imagine that Graham Norton sits by the phone waiting for that call. But
I always liked it how she was never very good at the, she'd try and do like, linked feedback, like it would all be R's or something. She'd try and do it all beginning with R and say, "You were ravishing, riveting, and relatively good, considering how much rehearsal you've done."
Well, if she did that, I like it. That's very inventive. No, Arlene Phillips, she's like a proper, you know, she used to be like the top of the pops about. Type person. Mm. Yeah, I think we should get her on here too. But she hasn't really protested, has she?
Well, no, but she's been photographed looking ashen-faced.
Yeah, well, I think she does that a lot. Yeah.
And Darcy Bustle is doing it as well, isn't she?
Yes. I can't see that. Can you? I mean, the thing is with Strictly Come Dancing, I like everything about that show except the dancing. The dancing is ludicrous. They ought to do a podcast of it without the dancing.
Because I like Bruce. That? That's the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No, it's just the truth. It's my truth. Yeah, because I like Bruce, because for me, watching Bruce is like watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The tension of whether the person is going to get to the million-pound punchline. Will Bruce make it? I love that. I once, somebody quoted back to me something I'd said, which I'd forgotten, was that it was like watching an elderly waiter carrying a very full tray across a crowded bar.
Watching
him read
the auto cue.
I watch Bruce. I watch a whole joke, you know, which usually lasts about 3 or 4 minutes, and I realise I haven't breathed for the whole thing. I think it will Bruce make it. So I love all that, and I love, you know, I'm very happy with like the mad judges and all that stuff. But the dancing is rubbish.
I love the dancing.
The dancing is just stupid. Just grinning mannequins. That's all it is. Grinning Mannequins III is our American guest. This week. No, Richard Herring's on this week, actually. He's our guest. I never plug the guest, so I thought I'd do that for a change. Speaking of plugs, actually, is a woman... I did a thing in the week. I was interviewed by Dave Gorman. Dave Gorman, who's hosted this show when I was on holiday.
He's my friend.
Yeah, whose podcast is still in the top 10, even though mine are nowhere. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, he interviewed me for a Radio 4 show. Can we mention Radio 4? People surely know it exists.
Yeah.
I'm not springing this on people. I think, Radio 4, what is that? I'll go and look it up.
It's what the tabloids call top people's radio.
That's what it is, yeah. It's a talk radio station. And I was talking to a woman after who worked at this venue that we did it at. We did it in King's Cross in London, which used to be a massive red light area but doesn't seem to be anymore. Not that I could find. And she said to me, she held up this leaflet and she said, "Do you know this man?" And I thought it was going to be one of these, you know, a wanted poster.
Did you think it was a paternity suit?
Yeah, perhaps? And it was like a leaflet with Gareth's face on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things.
Well, it was more of a missing cat type of a... the feel was to it. And you're on there. Is it tonight you're on?
No, on Sunday night.
And it's at King's Place. And she said, "Will you plug it?" Because she said, "We haven't sold many tickets." And I said, "Well, you need a name, to be honest." But it's not just you. It's all the comedy.
It's the Comedy Zone. We're previewing the Comedy Zone.
Oh,
for
God.
Edinburgh.
Oh, well, that's what, anyway, so if you are in the King's Cross area or in London, London is the King's Cross area, in my opinion. Mm. I mean, get on a tube, for goodness sake. What, do you want to get to places around the corner from your own home? Gareth is on, so you can go and see Gareth doing his stand-up act, which will be great. And Richard Herring's on there this week as well, so we can plug the guest at the same time. Mm. So we've gone completely plug crazy. as opposed to plog ugly, which is what I normally... Oh, God, could you press the adverts? Don't pick on me. Absolute Radio. We have a first... Is it a text or an email?
We have emails. We had emails during the week. So not even when we were on air.
We had them during the week.
People were thinking about us in their everyday life.
That's fabulous.
The listeners. The wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Look, they'll come to the show, don't worry.
Hi, Frank. We are Carol and Stuart, 50-something Scousers living in Singapore.
This now sounds like when I was a kid, having, like, my mum would be cooking the Sunday dinner. And, you know, here we are from BFPO 73 over to... Yeah, go on.
We have an internet radio and we listen every week for 2 hours to your
show. Scousers with an internet radio? Yeah, I wonder where that came from. Alicia Dixon's, probably.
Frank, would be fab if you could say hi to us. Next Saturday, 25th of July, is my birthday. I'm 55.
Oh, that's Carol. Brilliant. Carol, you're 55.
She's older than you.
She is older than me, yeah. let's have a pause while we all think about what that must be like. So they listen to us in Singapore. Yeah, oh, marvellous. Wow. People don't listen to us in our own country, but they listen to us here.
I like them.
They listen to Dave Gorman's podcast, as we all know. But the actual show... Well, I'm pleased about that. And we know they're listening, because what else are you going to do in Singapore? I don't know where Singapore really is, I'll be honest. Can I just state that?
I do. I've been there.
Where is it?
It's near Indonesia.
And China.
My wife's just
Japan.
Gone to Indonesia.
Oh,
no, you're supposed
Frank.
To say Jakarta, and then I say...
I knew
no, she
that
went
was
on an
coming.
Aeroplane. If you knew it was coming, why didn't you do the punchline? Not the punchline, the feed to the... You know what I mean. Oh, you can't get straight men anymore. I saw a good an email that we had this week where a bloke said, good morning, Frank, Emily and Gareth, and he's a West Brom fan, and he says some nice stuff about the show. He said, I just want to say good morning in advance as my attempt of contributing to your show. Good morning. I mean, you can do better than that. Surely Andy Tipper. But what he does say...
Adam Tipper.
Yeah, Adam. I call him Andy. Yeah. Now we're mates. Oh, yeah. I think he says in brackets any name beginning with A. He's all right
yeah,
with us, a Christian name.
Fine.
But his PS is Adam Tipper from Burntwood. He says, how sexy is Emily's voice?
Oh.
Problem with that, no question mark.
Frank?
Now, Adam, I'm, what do you mean? If you're saying to me how sexy is Emily's voice...
It's a rhetorical
question. Out of 100. Out of 100, 4.
Wow.
4?
Well, we've established that you talk exactly like Lucy Pinder,
no,
the famous
No, we haven't
glamour
established
model.
This
I believe
at
we
all.
Have.
About 3 listeners said that.
Well, that's a half of our catchment.
We've only had 4 emails ever, and that was 3 of them. We had to make one up just then.
Are you saying my voice...
The rest were the Lucy Pinder recurring theme.
But 4 out of 100, that's so lame. I would never say that to you. Even your voice is more sexy than that.
Okay. I didn't think you'd take it so
seriously. I've really taken it badly.
Oh, okay. I meant compared to your physical appearance.
That's oh, I like
that's
that.
That's obviously
okay, yeah,
what
yeah.
I meant. Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you're even questioning me on it.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
It's all going a bit tense.
No.
I can feel it.
You've saved it now. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine now. Don't try and stir it up, Gareth.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
Now, Gareth, you and Laura... You may remember that Gareth and his wife recently produced this. But it's not about that, is it?
No. It's the thing that generally we create our own insults for each other. And what we do is we adopt a celebrity's name that I think in some way, I suppose we think it sounds funny or sounds a bit like an insult. So one of them is Terry Nutkins.
Right.
So if we think... the other person's being a bit stupid, we call them Terry Nutkins. And I think it might be the nut bit.
I see.
Charlie Dimmock.
Because they're dim.
Yeah. And there's one on Radio 1 at the moment. There's a news presenter called Seema Kotecha. And at the moment, Laura's been calling me Seema Kotecha.
Oh, if you're in a bad mood.
I've been a bit... We're crazy.
You are just crazy!
I sometimes say... What the David Dickinson is going on?
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
My an ex-girlfriend of mine, if my current girlfriend's listening, I can't even remember her name. Not the current one, I remember her name, but the ex one. But she used to occasionally call me a Tony Knowall, which is quite complicated because Tony Knowles was a snooker player. But Tony Knowall, obviously, is a slight variation on that because I was a bit of a Knowall.
That's funny. One of the things...
Well, it's, you say that's funny. I'm not sure. Perhaps I never... That's the subject of this week's phone-in. Is that funny? Tony Knowall.
But what I was chatting to Emily about this the other day, but you know when you're not with somebody and you imagine them in a particular scenario?
I'm worried about it. I'm worried where this is going.
But you know when you think of someone and they're something, and I thought, how do I think of Frank and Emily? And when I thought of Emily, I imagined her sipping champagne.
Oh, I like that.
Where?
In an alleyway.
In an alleyway? Oh, that puts a rather different mark on the whole thing.
No, but the weird thing was, when I thought of you, I thought of you as a snooker player.
Really? What, playing?
In a waistcoat.
Playing or just being introduced to the crowd, doing that slight bow from the waist?
Yeah, no, not playing, just holding a snooker cue.
I'm just holding.
And by a...
Did you think of us together? Because somebody thought we were a couple this week, didn't they?
Well, I tell you, somebody did, but when I think of Emily, I imagine her at a dressing table doing her makeup and hair,
right,
whilst laughing about something that happened the previous evening, just remembering something and laughing to herself.
Was it something you said?
Well, that might not be something I said. It might be perhaps she saw a pensioner knocked over. I keep getting a red sign on it that says too loud. Is that a reference to this shirt?
I keep getting a sign on my screen that says not funny.
I'm pressing a button. Oh, really? when I think of Gareth, I just imagine him sitting on a chair staring at nothing. I don't know why that is.
I think that's
better than mine. In a desolate, slightly damp house.
Mine's a bit Miss Havisham, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I like the fact that you're laughing. I think this is my theory. I think it's a very good way to find out what people think of you. If you say, when you think of me, how do you imagine me? Where am I and what am I doing?
I know how I think of you.
Go on.
I see you in a giant overcoat and like a stripy scarf. I don't even know if you possess either of those items.
Right.
And I see you walking across Waterloo Bridge, like shielding yourself against the cold.
Am I anywhere near the TARDIS?
No, you're a bit Samuel Beckett. You look a bit like a sort of, you know, a poet or a playwright or something.
Oh, I like that bit.
Yeah.
We know what you're thinking. It's a snooker player. What different views we all... Anyway, it's on the what we call in celebrity swears, which is using people's names. Like, for example, if I got a bit emotional about anything, I used to say I got a bit Thierry Henry. as in Thierry. So any celebrity names that, I don't know, is this a rubbish idea? Oh no, send them in. What do we care? We won't tell anyone. Just between us, that 9 people listen to this show. We won't tell anyone else. Usually I don't. So yes, this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily and Gareth. And if you want to text us with one of those celebrity names used as a... Just if you want to text us about anything, you can get us on 8 12 15.
Celebrity names that you use to describe a thing or something. We've had some, haven't we? Yeah?
I think celebrity swears is good, but you don't like
swears.
That.
Right. It's not always swears. Look, for example...
It's not always swears, but, you know, it sounds like celebrity squares is the idea.
Oh, OK, I didn't get that.
Many people won't remember, obviously, but I do.
Listen, this is a good one from Gabby. She says, years back, an old neighbour would say, can't stop in a bit of an Ian Rush. This was one of the reasons people avoided him.
No, I like that. You see, that's nice and simple.
Yeah.
In a bit of an Ian Rush. And, you know, it's exactly what we're talking about.
David in Brighton, morning, Frank and team. If a bolt or screw breaks while we are building, we say it's Alan Sheared Off. No, Alan Sheared Off. Alan Sheared Off.
Yeah, you see, it turns out it isn't just you and Laura that use this strange language system. No, it's...
Our society celebs are best... Oh, I can't speak this morning.
No, that was... It sounded like it was... There was words there. Our society... recognised 2 words out of the 5. Good.
Our society is obsessed with celebrity.
Yes.
Is what I was going to say.
Yes.
And I think we do it as a way to kind of satirise that in our everyday lives and subvert it in some way. make everyone feel like they have something to contribute.
You're suggesting it's bad that our society is obsessed
with
celebrity.
Sorry, I've said that in the wrong
actually,
company.
No, that's powered my sex life for many years.
Stephen Hornchurch has also emailed in, but it's not related to the to what we were discussing
don't
earlier.
Just throw it all in.
He said, can you sort webcam 3 out? I got up early to look at the skirt, not the skirting board.
Good. Yes, Stephen Hornchurch, well named by the sounds of it.
Yes.
I hope that refers to me. I hope I'm the skirt.
You're not the
you.
I think you're the skirt.
We find that offensive, Steve, but we have moved the webcam for you. I hope you notice.
Oh, I don't find it at all offensive.
Emily insisted it be
delighted
moved,
by
she's
it.
She's popped some makeup on as well.
How lovely that you're called the skirt. So that's two compliments for Emily about how sexy is Emily's voice. And
yeah.
I.
Where
and
are yours?
I don't get those kind of emails. I just get you're brilliant. Because I think it's what's inside that counts, Emily, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, I don't think that at all.
No, I know you don't. That's what I like about you. So I went to Latitude last weekend.
Oh, yeah, how was it?
Well, if that's your latitude, that's what I said as I left. No, I had the best time. I've now decided again, having decided about 2 years ago that festivals are horrible, I've now decided that they're absolutely brilliant.
Really?
I just had the best time. I watched them.
Oh God!
We're doing a horror film. That was Daisy. Our what's your official job title, Daisy? Are you the assistant producer?
Door creaker.
Assistant door creaker. Well, I was just telling a fabulous anecdote, but you've completely ruined it with your creaking door. You're fired! Da, 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 da. Oh, now I'm in the House of Lords! Da, 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 da. I can't appear on BBC! Da, 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 da. So, we watched Grace Jones on the Saturday night. She was fabulous. You remember Grace Jones?
Yeah.
Nightclubbing. And then the next morning, I was staying in a luxury little sort of stables on the
a luxury no, I wasn't stables. In a, I wasn't in a, it was a convert, Jesus Christ.
It's a convert. Yeah. And,
I don't think Jesus had luxury stables. I think the point is he just had a normal stable. I'm sorry, do you know who I am? I'm not staying in this stable.
No, I think he delivered.
Know who my father is. He'll hear about this.
He'd forgotten his laminate. He couldn't get in the luxury stable. No, I think Jesus deliberately played it down on the stable front.
Oh, okay.
Now, this was a converted stables.
Right.
They used to be Jewish and now they're Roman Catholic. So I stayed there. And on the Sunday morning breakfast, I had breakfast with Sir Peter Blake, the artist.
Ooh.
You know Sir Peter Blake?
Yeah.
Garrett's looking very
yes.
blank.
What's
the he artist? Famous for?
Art.
Yeah, okay. And he did the cover of Sgt. Pepper's, the album.
Oh, and he did yeah. Do They Know It's Christmas? Your generation might know that.
Yeah. And anyway, we're not going to go list all his okay. work. But we were talking about Grace Jones's Behind.
Oh, God.
Now, you say that, but when you're talking to an artist about Grace Jones's Behind, suddenly it isn't a horrible, sexist sort of thing you'd hear in a garage type of a thing.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's an aesthetic discussion based on artistic grounds with discussion things like curvature, shade, and secret world.
You're just using posh words to be creepy.
And I was talking to Sir Peter Blake. What do you think I'm going to say? Absolute Radio. Did you read that Jermaine Jackson said that he didn't want Michael buried in a public cemetery because there was bad people in there?
Yeah.
He's got a slightly...
They're all making Michael look like the normal one, aren't they, his family?
Comes to something when the neighbourhood isn't good enough for old MJ. But, yeah, it's a very simplistic view of the afterlife, isn't it? Where you have to hang around with the people you're buried next to. I mean, I imagine once you enter the spirit world, you know, you can you can
do you imagine
teleport.
That he's going to be mobbed in wherever he goes? Like, oh, Michael!
Well, I think he thinks there's... I mean, I was looking to see who's in that cemetery, and there didn't seem to be anybody that. There's people like
which
Stan,
one is it?
Forest Lawn.
Oh yes, LA. That's good. That's quite the. That's a good
yeah,
one. Yeah,
you'd like that. Yeah, we'll see if I can get you in. I can't guarantee.
I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, yeah. I want to send my children there.
It is. I mean, Stan Laurel's buried there, and Clark Gable and stuff like that. But the idea that you know Michael's going to be like the new kid at school, standing in the corner of the cemetery on his own, with the others not talking to him, or there might be a bad influence on him after death. I mean, Jermaine, what's he talking about? And then Joe, the dad, who I think we can say is the bad guy.
Yeah, he even looks creepy, doesn't he?
Well, he wears the black trilby all the time. Did he used to be in the Bee Gees, Joe? Was that him? Anyway, he said they were asking him about that he'd beaten Michael in the past.
Yeah.
And he said, I never beat him. He said, I hit him with a cane and I slapped him sometimes. But he said, I never beat him. He said, you beat people with a stick. And I never do that. And I thought, well, sorry, obviously we've been misinformed.
Yeah.
I thought you'd beat him. Turns out you're only hitting him with a stick. A stick. Joe, if you're listening, I know you never hit him with a stick.
Do you think he just thinks it sounds a bit more showbiz than Charlie Chaplin with the cane, maybe? That's why he thought it was acceptable.
But he's got the hat.
I find it odd how they keep including sort of references to songs of Michael Jackson in these. So, like, saying he didn't want to be buried with bad people, but he meant bad, like, because there's a Michael Jackson song, bad, but bad meaning good, but he meant bad meaning bad.
Yes.
And then Joe saying, I didn't beat him. From Beat It.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all very subtle advertising, I think. All of this is just...
Speaking of subtle advertising, Richard Herring is a very funny comedian.
Yeah.
Guess what radio show he's doing today?
Surely, like, some other one.
No, ours.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, hell, yes. Yes, you're right. And I think we're going to have the adverts now. I was just going to talk about... Omar Barty, who could be the new son of Michael Jackson. This chair's a bit uncomfortable. Omar Barty.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
Richard Herring.
Yes, Richard Herring is in the house.
They're just
the
here to remind you who it is.
Yeah, exactly. I knew who the face.
We've never done that before. I don't really know what that was.
I like it. It's quite synchronised. I was impressed by it. Richard.
Yes.
My dear fellow, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm not too bad, yeah.
Are you all right this time of the morning? Are you a morning person?
I'm not. Well, I was in Bristol last night, so I drove back from Bristol last night, so it's a bit... I haven't had much sleep, so I might, you know... Sometimes when you do these things and you haven't had enough sleep, you kind of go into great surreal.
That'll be all right.
Yeah, but then sometimes you just start swearing and shouting.
Down to that. I'm afraid if you start swearing, I'll have to wrestle you to the floor. Okay. I mean, you know.
I'll try and be good.
Yeah, okay.
I think I might be asleep still. This could be a dream. Yes. A wonderful dream, Frank.
Yeah, well, I think so. Oh, too loud that was, apparently, according to my screen. I mean, that was not loud, was it? What happens if you go, ah! Well, that's too loud. I don't know if I'm having... Are people at home holding their ears with blood coming out of their... through the cracks
I
in their fingers?
I suspect they are.
Yeah, going, turn it down! Too loud, apparently, that. So, Richard, you're off to Edinburgh soon.
I am, yes.
So when you were in Bristol last night, was that because you were doing a show?
Yeah, I've been sort of previewing every night this month. I was at the Tobacco Factory, which is one of my favourite venues in Bristol, which is close to where I grew up, so it's always nice to go back there.
Yeah. What would happen if that burnt down? Well, that would be dangerous for the local residents.
Luckily, there's no tobacco. My nephew went to the actual tobacco factory
in
Bristol, which I didn't even know existed. He
found
I was on the tobacco factory and went to the tobacco factory. And then he got there and said, is Richard Herring here? And the bloke said, he's gone home for the weekend.
Really?
That was very surreal.
Does that mean there's a Richard Herring that works in the cigarette manufacturing?
I think just that man probably didn't understand what was going on. He's the night watchman at the tobacco factory in Bristol.
He's going to be high as a kite. So how did the show go?
It was great last night. Yeah, it's really coming together. It's that weird thing with previews, as I'm sure you know, that you're kind of trying out new material all the time. But because I'd sort of tend in the last couple of years just to really do 40 or 50 previews. So by this stage, yeah, it's sort of getting there. But I do a lot of the work on stage, you know. So I'm just doing it every night. You just go on and then try and work on whatever didn't work the night before. But yeah, I think it's really coming together. It's about having a Hitler moustache, in case you were wondering.
I'm so relieved you said that.
No, I was fighting the urge to go, all right, you, but... So that was a Hitler moustache.
Well, it's about... The show's called Hitler Moustache, but it's about trying to take the moustache back from Hitler and give it back to Chaplin, maybe, or to reclaim it for comedy is the idea. I was just kind of interested in why this is kind of a taboo thing to have on your face, because the moustache wasn't really to blame for what Hitler did, I don't think, but maybe it was. Well, maybe it'll turn me evil by having
I always imagine a lot of people had Hitler moustaches. Yeah. Hitler had. It wasn't. People then didn't call it a Hitler moustache.
No, it was a toothbrush moustache. And Chaplin had it first. And actually, before that, it was quite a popular working class moustache.
It was called the toothbrush moustache.
Yeah, yeah. Because it looks like a little toothbrush holding. I mean, you could do it well with a comb as well. But, like, if you had a black toothbrush, I guess. Or if you were grey haired, man.
I didn't even know they had toothbrushes in the 30s. If you look at them, they think they've never seen a toothbrush. Imagine the contortion it would require to clean your teeth with your own toothbrush moustache. Let's try that. Yeah. But we're going to play every week. I should tell you this, Twitch. I don't expect you to be a regular listener. Why would you be? We play The Fall every week, I think are the best band in the world. And this week, Emily said to me that she can predict what this track will sound like, even though she's never heard it.
All I know... Okay, I'm getting so familiar with their sound now, because he plays it every week.
Yeah.
I know that it's called Mountain Energy, so I think it'll go something like this. Mountain Energy, Kilimanjaro, Ben Nevis, the mountain had energy. Plink, plonk, plink.
Well, let's find out. Absolute Radio. We are, this is Frank Skinner with Emily and Gareth, and we're with Richard Herring, who has a... Toothbrush moustache.
I was trying to get it called the Herring moustache, so that was my initial plan, but now I've gone back to thinking we should call it a Chaplin moustache for various reasons. My arrogance has been overcome by a desire to use it as a tool for social justice, but you have to come see the show for that.
Do people react oddly to you when they see you?
Really thought I'd get like loads of hassle in the street, and I kind of thought I'd probably only be able to do it for a day or two, and you know, I'd get beaten up and shouted at. But all I've had is like people going, "Oh, you adult," or
"That's quite bad."
Look at your mistake. Well, no, but like in a funny way.
Anyway.
But hardly, even that, hardly at all. I think people, and it's
the armband.
It's like when I meet my people who I know but don't know what I'm doing, they don't say anything about it. You know?
Oh, really?
So I think it's just like it's that literal elephant in the room that people... It's such an unusual moustache to have that people don't actually know how to respond to it.
I would assume, if I didn't know about the show, I'd assume that you had a cold sore under there that you weren't able to shave.
You think
over.
I would grow the whole moustache out?
Yeah, I don't know if you ever tried shaving over a cold sore.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done it with one of my own. But it's painful. So that's what would have been. So that's probably why people haven't brought you.
No one has said that to me. It is quite interesting that people kind of keep quiet about it and don't shout. So, and that, because I kind of wanted to, I had all these replies ready about them being fascistic to judge why I had the moustache and why I assume I'm Hitler, why not assume I'm, say, Oscar Deutsch, who was the Jewish man who founded the Odeon cinema chain who had it. So
yeah.
Who's the racist now? But you know, okay. But no one said anything, which has been kind of interesting. And you know, I think
it's very British, that though, isn't it? Not to say anything.
But I think it's very British also to laugh. You know, I think if Hitler had been in Britain in the 1920s, I don't think he would have got anywhere, because even in the beer halls, and people would just been going, "Oi, Charlie, and eat your shoes,"
yeah,
etc., with rude words in it, I guess.
Yes.
Because that's very much what the kind of British mentality is. That you know, only in Germany could they look at it and not go. I mean, they didn't take him very seriously, but they didn't laugh at him. And I think if they'd laughed at him, maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Well, it's too late now.
It is. And, you know, it's good for me, because I got a show out of it, so...
So the
whole World War II.
I was in Edinburgh a couple of years ago, and there was a bloke doing two one-man shows, one of which was Hitler and one of which was Charlie Chaplin. And that was a man who'd bought the moustache and thought, well, I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. But I don't think he'd grown one. I think
Well, it is, you know, the guy from Sparks, I guess, has very few.
That's true.
I don't know if he still does. Ron Mayall, yeah. But I don't think there are, you know, there's no one. Robert McCarvey's got a little filter moustache. And, you know, ladies sometimes have this moustache not on their face. It's a tapery effect that they have elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean, Mayall.
But I have a joke. Comparing Robert McGarvey to
careful.
That, which we won't go into. I bet you can work it, fill in the gaps.
I think I could, yes. Robert McGarvey having a Hitler moustache, though, that's just tempting people to make comparisons.
But I think he's... But, you know, a few people would have done, obviously... But in Africa, it's still a moustache that people are aware in Africa. But I think McGarvey is actually deliberately doing it to be confrontational, because he's a little bit mentally ill. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that about... He's not a very nice person.
I don't think he listens. No, we have listeners in Singapore. Who knows? It might be that Robert McGarvey sits at home laughing his head off at this show.
He thinks it's too loud, though.
He does think it's too loud.
He's quite old, though.
Hitler wouldn't have thought it was too loud. I mean, he gave it some. Imagine that the screen must have gone mad when he was on the radio. It's too loud! What do you mean too loud? Kill him!
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
Have we had any emails during this long break?
Yeah. We've got, hello Frank, Emily and Gareth. When my flatmate and I say we're going to bed, we say, good night, I'm going up to Daniel Bedingfield. Don't really know why, but it makes us laugh. Alison Brixton. I like that a lot.
Yes. Steve says we have a golf shot called Sally Gunnell. Pretty ugly, but a good runner.
Oh, that's absolutely scandalous.
It's a bit cruel, but that's one of the readable ones.
Okay.
We've been sent a torrent of filth for this. Thank you, listeners.
We can read that after. Absolutely.
It's for our own pleasure. And Adam from Leeds says, when I've missed up, Billoddy hell.
Billoddy hell. That's all right, I think.
That's very good.
Billoddy hell.
I think we get away with that, but there's lots that we don't get.
One imagines that Billoddy will be a resident of hell as well.
That bird watching? You've got something against Twitchers.
Jermaine Jackson, probably.
I don't want him to be with bad people.
No, I don't want. I don't want Billoddy to be with the goodies.
No, he was the game of the goodies.
Yeah. He sang like that though. We're down on the farm. Did you find that?
I don't think I've ever actually really heard them.
Hey, we had another email in this week, Frank. Saying, hello Frank, me and my friend had a brief chat with you and your partner whilst in Covent Garden on the 16th of July. We were all looking at a giant cupcake. This is from Kerry Brayford. And that alarmed me when I saw that email.
Yes, because it was me and you, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm glad you've said that, because my girlfriend sitting at home drinking a cup of tea had just gone... yes, that was me and Emily. That was my partner.
So you think they were talking about you when they said partner? You don't think they're talking about you when they said the giant cupcake?
Yeah, you do look a bit like it. It's that glacier cherry hat you wear. I've said to you before, don't wear that. You look like some sort of swollen cardinal. But now you know best, of course. I tell you what I did watch last weekend.
What?
I watched... Emily on Day of the Triffids. She finally appeared. It was oh my god, the Triffids have arrived. Slightly scary, I think so. Yeah, we watched too loud. We watched no, I'm saying it. Me and my girlfriend watched it, and we knew Emily was in the episode. Episode 5. And you were playing. How old were you then, Em?
I was about 10.
Yeah, and honestly, I got really sort of anxious about your appearance.
I was so
excited you were coming on, but also worried that something could go wrong. Even though it was recorded, what was it,
1981?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't 40 years ago. Frank.
It was sepia toned.
It was silent.
Anyway, and it was too loud, apparently, according to my prompt. And it was really... I thought you were great.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't think I was.
Oh, no, you were. You were very cute. And you had the fringe and everything. And then I thought, well, this is great, because I'd recorded both episodes. So I thought, no, obviously, she's only just coming, so she'll be in the next episode. And the next episode begins 6 years later. And, of course, they've got an older girl.
I hated that older girl.
I bet you did as well.
Oh, I hated her.
I could do older. Why should she do it? I could do 7 years older. I can imagine that exact... conversation.
I missed the first one and only saw the second one. So
you saw the older girl who I hate.
And the Triffids are like kind of big giant daffodils who, like, you can tell
there's
a
fair summary of the
under the camera.
There's a man. How else are they going to do it
with
real Triffids? Is that what you're suggesting? You'll fall.
Absolute Radio.
Do you get this? If I stand in a crowd. No matter where I stand in the crowd, people always take me to be the corridor. I'm always the one they have to go past. If I stand in a queue, I'm always the one that people say, excuse me, and walk through my... And I hate that. When you're in a queue and somebody who's walking past goes through where I am, I feel separated from the rest of the queue. Like I might miss...
There's a flash of terror.
Yeah, they might go past, or another queue might form on the end of that person ahead. Always I get that. And I tell you, I also, what they do at Latitude, have you ever been to?
No.
They dye the sheep pastel shades.
Oh, yes, I've seen photos of that.
Yeah, and it looks great. Mm. Mm. I'm not a big wildlife person. It's made me think if they were more colourful. I'm trying to get into wildlife, because I watch those wildlife things like, you know, the Empire of the Cheetah. since I got HD, I feel a certain obligation to watch wildlife. Mm. And I get bored literally after 3 minutes.
Do you?
Yeah, I think, oh, wildlife.
Cheetah. Oh, I love a chimp, though. They're fascinating.
Yeah, I can watch a chimp. I prefer a chimp life. Keep chimpanzees live. That's what the sticker says on my car. Obviously, I don't park it near the local makeup testing laboratory. But I saw a programme on the telly about them cutting up a whale. Did you see that?
Oh, no, but I heard this was
a... Yeah, they axed a whale open to see what was inside it, basically.
What was it like?
Well, it was a lot of entrails.
Right.
We shouldn't be surprised at that. And, you know, some poo, a lot of poo.
Pinocchio?
Pinocchio
in there?
Pinocchio wasn't in there. No Jonah.
No Jonah.
No. But I thought, actually, wildlife where the animals are being cut up, I don't mind. So that's basically it's animals that have
you're
been
essentially
tainted.
Like animal autopsies yeah. is what you like.
What if what like. The perfect thing would be? What if the inside of the animals was really colourful?
Well, it was quite colourful.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah, it was. The entrails were a sort of they were a soft pink, but a pink nonetheless. But no, I thought that was good. I should say that we had an email off the back of the Triffids, which is quite a dangerous place to be, and this person said. He's called Richard, and he said that he was one of his favourite TV shows of the 60s. And
Shut up!
No, he said 80s. And he said, here's a cheeky request. If I send him my DVD cover, would Emily sign it?
I love it.
And then his PS is, she was the best thing in it. And his PPS was next to the Triffids. She was next to the Triffids in a couple of shots. What's wrong with that? So that's... You've got to sign... Send
oh,
it in, Richard.
It.
She'd be... Oh, she'd be absolutely thrilled. I shouldn't think you signed many of those, do you?
I'll do my special pound Millie autograph. I did my E like a pound when I was trying to do an autograph.
Did you
when
really?
I was a kid, yeah.
You're going to reproduce your childish autograph?
I will. Oh,
lovely.
Absolute Radio.
There's this thing called Bowlingual, which they're developing in Japan. What? It
which
is
what
that.
Is, what is that?
What it does, apparently... is it's able to, it claims that it's able to read the tone of a dog's bark, so it can establish whether the dog's sort of hungry or wants to go toilet or is upset or something. So when I was reading about this, I thought, wouldn't it be good?
What about when they begin to bark and they start with a cough? You know that?
Like what?
Well, you know when your dog's lying, sometimes a dog's lying and you see the ear go, it's heard something.
Yeah.
It'll sit up slightly, not all the way up, it just raises its head and start going, and it builds up. But first, I think if it, you know, it's testing it with the cough. It's a warm up.
Okay.
What it's doing. Anyway, let's. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I thought, wouldn't it be good if you could get one of those and men could use them on women, so that when we say things
what, dogs?
Like no, like translators, so you could interpret what we meant when we said fine, because there's a lot of meaning to the word fine, as I'm sure you've both.
I don't know what you mean. So, like, there's hidden tones in the things
you
that you
must have
say.
Had this thing. You know this game that women... I mean, I've played it for hours, this guess why I'm upset.
Yeah.
When I've played it all through the night and into the next day and never got the answer.
It's
never got
much
the
fun.
Answer.
Is that much fun?
Oh, it's brilliant fun. Yeah. If you can imagine a really heavy weight on your chest.
Like risk.
Yeah, a high risk.
So, Gareth, let me give you a few examples. Okay, so let's say, Gareth, let's do a bit of role-playing here. Mm. Let's say that you've decided you're going to go out with the lads tonight instead of coming home to see me.
So,
you're just ringing to tell me and I'm responding.
Yeah, we were going to go out, weren't we? But I'm not going to do that now. Jeremy has got in touch and he says, well, I want
doesn't
to go
sound that
see.
Laddish a night to me now. Jeremy, I imagine.
We're going
to
go and see Bruno.
Yeah. I imagine it's an embroidery group.
Okay, so...
Is that okay?
Okay, fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent. That's fine.
Do you know that one, Frank?
Was that not...
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, surely you'd have picked up on that, Gareth.
Yeah.
Wasn't
no, but she
fine.
Said, okay, fine.
No, yes, but I didn't
but
mean it.
That. Never quote back. Well, you said it was fine. That, then it gets even more complicated.
Right, so what are the...
So an example... Okay, so Frank, just say you want to go to an ex-girlfriend's birthday party...
Okay, I'm going to be very careful which name I choose here.
And you're suggesting it to me.
Okay. It's Susan's birthday on... Do you remember Susan? It's her birthday on Tuesday and she asked me... She just texted
okay, fine!
okay.
That's, I'm not jealous at all.
Right. Okay. Give us, is there any more?
Well, there's like the there's a genuine fine, which is, just so you know, for future reference, genuine fine is just, okay, fine.
It's even that. That had edge, didn't it?
Yeah, I felt, yeah. This is very confusing.
Yes, now next week, I had an email from a very nice lady called Debbie, who won't be at my... next week in Birmingham, I'm having a small ceremony. I'm going to be... taken on to the Walk of Stars, and the show is coming from Birmingham next week, so it's quite exciting. We're going to go up to Birmingham. I'll explain the Walk of Stars and all that next week, but it's like the Hollywood Walk of Stars, except it's for people from Birmingham. And Debbie can't be there, but I will send you a photo, Debbie, because you sound so lovely. So we'll be in Birmingham next week. It won't make any difference to the radio. We'll be tuned the same, and that'll be smashing.
But we're coming from Birmingham.
Coming from
Birmingham.
I'm always coming from Birmingham. So this is Kate Bush, Hounds of Love. It's the end of the show.
Thank
My
you,
girlfriend
listeners.
Likes Kate Bush, so I'm playing this for her. What about that? Okay, good day to you.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.